Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 29th.
But I just want to emphasize, this is my former pastor. Many of the statements that he's made, both to trigger this initial controversy and that he's made over the last several days, are not statements that I had heard him make previously. They don't represent my views. And they don't represent what this campaign's about. But he's obviously free to make those statements.
That's Barack Obama yesterday responding to the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who is speaking out, defending himself, in an interview on the weekend with Bill Moyers, during a speech before the NAACP, during an appearance yesterday before the National Press Club, where, among other things, the Reverend Wright said that the coverage and concerns expressed over the excerpts of some of his controversial statements in sermons amount to an attack on the Black church. So we will wonder this hour, is Reverend Wright right? Or is he hurting Barack Obama? Does Barack Obama have to do more than say he doesn't agree with Reverend Wright? We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We're happy to have with us this morning Kevin Gray, author of Waiting for Lightning to Strike, The Fundamentals of Black Politics, also the author of the forthcoming book, The Decline of Black Politics from Malcolm X to Barack Obama, which will be out in August. And Kevin Gray was also the 1988 campaign manager for Jesse Jackson in South Carolina. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Cardine.
Thank you so much for being with us. So let me play first the Reverend Wright yesterday and get you to respond.
Very simply, he's a politician. I'm a pastor. We speak to two different audiences. And he says what he has to say as a politician. I say what I have to say as a pastor. Those are two different worlds. I do what I do. He does what politicians do. So that what happened in Philadelphia, where he had to respond to the sound bites, he responded as a politician.
That wasn't from yesterday. That was with Bill Moyers over the weekend, saying that Barack Obama, a lot of people are saying that's insinuating that Barack Obama really agrees with Reverend Wright on all these things, but in order to get elected, he has to say things as a politician. Is that what's going on here?
Well, listen, I don't necessarily agree that they speak to different audiences. Obama's audience is larger, obviously, because he's speaking to the nation. But if you're talking about Barack's relationship with the Black community and a minister's relationship, and in particular this minister's relationship with the Black community, they do speak to the same audience. Because some of this, the uproar is a little bit breathtaking, because it to me, it shows the lack of knowledge that the general community or the white community has of the Black community. I've been aware of James Cone, and I'm 50, but I've been familiar with James Cone and liberation theology since I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I read Paulo Freire when I was a teenager, and all these things are part of the Black tradition, the Black church tradition. Now, I'm not a religious sort, but I have two brothers that are ministers. And so a lot of the things, and even stylistically, a lot of the ways that Reverend Wright acts, those things aren't foreign to the Black community. And if people don't understand that the Black church has always been a critiquer of American mm-hmm. society from the oppressed class's point of view, then how can you be confused about Blacks coming from a different heritage, a heritage of slavery as opposed to a heritage of racial skin privilege, and not expect them to have a different perspective of power? But now, as it relates to Barack, of course I think he's saying things that a politician must say. I believe that. I've managed campaigns. No, he's not running to be the president of Black America as they tried to, the label they put on Jesse. He's running to be the president of the United States and represent a broader constituency. And the politics in the Black community are unashamedly, in most cases, progressive. Reverend Wright talked about our opposing the Reagan administration policy in Nicaragua, supporting Nelson Mandela and the ANC. Most people forget that when Castro came to Harlem, he stayed at the Hotel Teresa and met with Malcolm X, and the people cheered him. Well, they forget that picture that Jesse took with Arafat. That's the tradition of the Black community and Black politics. So, for you know, I think that it may be disingenuous to some extent for Obama to say there are some things that he never heard. There was a sign that said Free South Africa outside that church that they showed on Bill Moyers' show. Barack should pick out what does he disagree with. I could understand him disagreeing with the goddamn America comment mm-hmm. because he's running to be America's cheerleader. But, you know, you could pick out a lot of stuff in what Reverend Wright has said, and you can ask, well, what do you disagree with about this?
Yeah, well, let me check the weather forecast and then to your phone calls for Kevin Gray, who is author of the forthcoming book, The Decline of Black Politics from Malcolm X to Barack Obama, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Just about 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 29th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. Coming up after 5, throughout history, the U.S. has engaged in a dialogue of 13 arguments, according to Ben's guest. They'll talk about the principles that have contributed to the American identity after 5. Right now, we're talking about the Reverend Jeremiah Wright and his recent comments over the weekend and yesterday, defending his views, talking about the controversy over some of his controversial remarks, and talking about whether this is hurting Barack Obama. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. Our lines are full right now, as I suspected. But before we go to them, let me ask our guest, Kevin Gray, is this hurting Barack Obama?
You know, I did a show yesterday. There's a long answer and a short answer. The short answer is politically it does because it gives the media snippets to choose from and play over and over again. Mm-hmm. The short version of the longer answer is it will hurt Barack if he lets it.
Yeah, so if he lets it, does that mean he needs to do something more than what he's already done?
Well, you know, my complaint about Barack is that, you know, he has a movement trapped in a campaign. And, you know, there needs to be a little more definition of change. Some of us in the progressive world want to see an end to empire and all this U.S. Involvement all around the world militarily. So, you know, I think you go after the 50% that doesn't vote, not necessarily try to target your campaign to getting to trying to attract a group of voters who have said expressly that they would never vote for you because of your race, even if you were the only person in the race. You know, I don't think that it does Barack's campaign any good to tailor itself to racists. And I think that even if you look at this debate and who is leading this charge against Wright and Obama, I look at the Sean Hannitys and the Bill O'Reillys. They're not going to be satisfied unless he drops out the race and Wright leaves the country and Black folks say slavery is okay.
Yeah, you know, I was hearing other pundits on other programs, though, too, not just on
it's
Fox.
It's awful, but Fox has led the charge. Yeah. And the other sad thing about, from a Black perspective, if you just go back and look at the news over the last week in this discussion of race, you know, Jesse Jackson's name is now a pejorative. And then, of course, there's Reverend Wright. I thought John Stewart asked the most honest question. Maybe Stephanopoulos should have asked it, the question when he had Obama on The Daily Show, and he asked, if you're elected president, are you going to enslave all the white people? Because that's the underlier that drives the fear that people are pushing in reference to Obama.
Mm, yeah. Some, though, are suggesting that that Barack Obama needs to do more than say he disagrees with some of what Reverend Wright has said, that Barack Obama needs to go ahead and disown.
That would hurt him in the black community. That would hurt him sorely in the black community. First of all, this idea of that has emerged in the last election cycle of repudiating people and denouncing people who have a different opinion and calling them un-American or unpatriotic is a very dangerous concept. And if Barack Obama were foolish enough to fall into that trap and disown someone who is known in the black community, a lot of people have never listened to, I refer them to Reverend Wright's sermon on Wynton Marsalis's The Death of Jazz album, where he does the premature autopsy, and that's been out for the last 10 years. I think that that would cause a backlash on Obama within the black church because, as I said, to some extent, people out of ignorance who have never been in the black church, who do not understand the role of the black church in the black community, who are leading the attack or critiquing the black church, I think that's unfair.
Let's go to some calls. Felice in Platteville joins us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have two comments. First of all, I think that Reverend Wright has every right to defend the things that he says because they were taken out of context and they were played over and over again as sound bites. And that's very misleading when you take something out of context, like goddamn America. And also, Barack Obama said in his first speech that he could no longer disown his pastor than he could his family. And now he's talking about, well, this is my former church and other things. And I think that's flip-flop. It's a thing that politicians do. They tell you what you want to hear when you want to hear it.
He's saying he's my former pastor because Kevin Gray, Reverend Wright, has retired from that church, right?
Right. But as I said, obviously they have or had a close relationship. If Reverend Wright baptized his children, baptized him, married him, brought him into the church, that's a close relationship. And I could see, I know a lot of preachers, and you know, some of the things that might turn me off about Reverend Wright, I'm probably more stylistic than intellectual. As a secularist, you know, I'm, you know, God damning America. Well, I'm not going to wait for God's wrath to change anything. You know, you need to be working for change in the here and now and not waiting on some mystical image or personage or whatever force to change things. I might have disagreement with that. But the fundamentals of his politics and what he laid out on Moyers, what he laid out in the speech with NAACP, what he said at the press club, outside of stylistics, I think that he has been spot on a lot of progressive issues. And this idea of American empire and this idea of Americanism, or as the Chris Rock line goes in his movie when he ran for president, God bless America and no place else, you know, those are things that we have to confront, this idea that we believe that we are superior or better than everyone else. That's a dangerous concept.
I did see some other commentators, though, saying, you know, yeah, black churches are one thing. Liberation theology is certainly preached. But what Reverend Wright is saying is not what is being said in most black churches. Most preachers in black churches are not, you know, saying
political.
That,
and I would agree with that, that they're not as political as they have been made out to be in a contemporary context, because, you know, most folk just stick to the Jesus message. And of course, there are different kinds of churches. But for the most part, there is still a significant body of people that come from the black church that provide political leadership in this country, and that's obvious. I mean, now Jesse and Al Sharpton don't necessarily have pulpits, but if you look at most places around the country, the first place that you're going to go to organize is the church and the foundation, even of the NAACP and its membership. If you look at the NAACP membership, most of them are churchgoers. So, and locally, you know, you move NAACP meetings from church to church. So, you know, obviously, it really depends on you know, the style of the minister, but obviously the black church politically is important to the black community politically.
Let's go to another caller. Pat in Chippewa Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I followed the campaign of Barack Obama for over a year now, and the thing that disturbs me about the media-driven coverage of these two men is that neither of them have been allowed to state their case in an open format, be believed, and move on. Neither of them.
Well,
for conservative white America to say on the media that these men don't have the right to speak on behalf of their individual causes is so disturbing. Maybe we're finally in America getting at the guts of the ugliness of racism that still goes on in this country today.
You know, this is a profoundly racist country, but if you go outside and meet 10 people and ask them are they racist, you won't get one mm-hmm. that will cop to it. And that's the problem. And even in, if you look at, you know, Barack and his relationship with Wright. Now, Hagee isn't necessarily John McCain's minister. So there's a bit of a difference. But you don't hear people pressing McCain on Hagee's remarks as hard as they're pressing Obama on his relationship with Reverend Wright and the three remarks in particular, the one about AIDS, the one about mm-hmm. the damnation of America. The third one slipped my mind that they air over and over. You don't see the media go after McCain in the same way that Stephanopoulos would ask Obama, why didn't he have a flag lapel pin on, and there's Hillary Clinton standing right next to him without a pin and never be asked a question. So, and even as a black person watching, as I said, a lot of white males, And a lot of black folk who show an extreme lack of intelligence on politics, but you see them discussing a community that they've never, ever been a part of, never participated in the functions outside of maybe buying a CD or something and those things that you got to have cool points, but not really knowing the community.
Let me get one more caller in before our news break. Edith in Madison, hi, you're
yes.
on the air.
Oh, Joy, I am so thankful that you have finally had as a guest such a powerful spokesman as you have found in Pastor Gray.
I'm not a pastor, those are my two brothers.
every caller so far has hit it right on the nose. I am appalled by the shamelessness of the media in their attack on a church, because the black church really is such a powerful force, and I see it as really an attack on church, period. And they're using an African American as a scapegoat to do it, and I'm appalled by Stephanopoulos and Gibson's attack on Obama, and I just wish that Obama would just stand up tall and defend Reverend Wright.
All right, I have to hold it there, Edith, because the news is coming right up. We'll get our guest's response after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Tuesday, April the 29th. It's now 7:36. We are talking this hour with Kevin Gray, who was the 1988 campaign manager for Jesse Jackson for president in South Carolina, author of a couple of books, Waiting for Lightning to Strike, The Fundamentals of Black Politics, and the forthcoming The Decline of Black Politics from Malcolm X to Barack Obama, talking about Barack Obama and the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. The Reverend Wright is speaking out on his own behalf, defending his statements that we have now seen in the media quite a bit, statements that some say are anti-American, talking about Barack Obama's reaction to the Reverend Wright's most recent statements and whether or not this is going to be hurting Barack Obama's chances to be president. Welcoming your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, just before news time, we heard from a caller, Edith in Madison, who was quite impressed with you, Kevin Gray. she appreciated your viewpoint on this and thought that Barack Obama should speak out and defend the Reverend Wright.
Well, you know, as I said, I did a local show yesterday, and mm-hmm. someone said, well, how did he overcome this? And I said, well, you know, I've known a lot of really talented, special people in my life. And it seems to me that they really achieve a level of greatness when they go beyond what's expected. And you know, I think the thing that I thought that was missing in the Obama campaign was him just reaching out for the moment that he's in and letting it and surrendering to it. And you know, I don't want to compare him to Jesse, but I've been in these situations where I've seen Jesse just kind of surrender to the crowd. I've seen Jesse plunge into crowds and just kind of give it up or... you know, or listen to Nelson Mandela. You know, they understand their moment and going beyond the moment, and they do speak truth to power. And, you know, Barack's running to be head of the power, but he wants to change it. So he really, you know, you have to integrate that change into your speeches and into your psyche. It can't be just about changing the people in Washington. It has to be able, you have to be able to talk about how we move from empire to cooperation. And that's how we change the perception of the rest of the world about America. And it means that we talk to those people that we disagree with. It means that we do things that we just don't take the power position to defend our consumptive needs. And even with this war, I mean, and you talk about this campaign where people are renouncing people. You know, I think that it's real unfair that three cops can shoot a man 50 times and walk, mm-hmm. I'm stretching the point, yeah. but I'm one of those people that think the people that lied about the war, Dick Cheney, George Bush, Condoleezza Rice, those people ought to be impeached and in jail. They've caused millions of deaths. And someone has to, you know, I would be repudiated by Obama campaign if I'm part of it for saying mm-hmm. something like that, but that's how I feel about things. So if you believe that we went to war based on a lie, then somebody ought to be held accountable for that lie, but you won't hear people really talk about that. You won't hear any of the candidates. You won't hear Barack or Hillary and them say that these people should be held accountable for telling a lie that has led to countless deaths.
Yeah. June in Shawano is our next caller. Hi, June. You're on the air.
Good morning. I, too, find your guest to be very stimulating. And I want to say that I was very skeptical about Obama in the beginning. I may have thought he was too elitist. I may have thought that because he hadn't the black experience, he wasn't quite the same as, say, Jesse Jackson. However, I've been trained and observe that he has gone into the black community and works there, trying to recover some of that black experience. I have a son just like Barack, and he has done the same thing. His father was Nigerian. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that I agree with you when you say go to the moment. I have been incensed as well about this business in New York, about this gentleman who was killed. I haven't heard anybody speak up about it. I know Al Sharpton does. He always does. But I just want to say that when Barack did not disavow his friend and minister, it was that brought me to his side. I was a Hillary Clinton supporter. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that she then began to use race in her subtle manner and her subtle husband, who isn't so subtle, that I became angry.
Mm-hmm. Let me play Hillary Clinton's reaction to this latest dust-up, for lack of a better term.
I would not have stayed in that church under those circumstances, But I regret the efforts by the Republicans to politicize this matter.
Well, so she's saying that she wouldn't have stayed in that church, but she's also pointing the finger at the Republicans, saying this shouldn't be a campaign issue, Kevin Gray.
Well, you know, I wrote a piece in Alexander Coburn and Jeffrey St. Clair's book, Dimes Worth a Difference, six, seven years ago,
mm-hmm.
called Soul Brother, Bill Clinton of Black America. And so I've never bought into this idea of Bill Clinton being the first black president. I was Tom Harkin's Southern political director in 92
mm-hmm.
during the Ricky Ray Rector thing. I was in the room when he did the Sister Soldier thing. I was with Jesse when he called him a backstabber.
Mm.
So I have never had the opinion of Bill Clinton and the Clintons as being these great race healers that everyone else laid at their feet. And, of course, they play race, and they've always played race as it relates to hardball politics and how you tweak cues. And so sometimes you don't necessarily have to just go out whole hog and condemn Barack Obama for his relationship. Sometimes it's just the mention, and you play the mention. And no question, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton know. I mean, they're going after the so-called Reagan Democrats who left the Democratic Party because of race, and that's where they feel their Trump card is. So. It helps her to have this storm a brewing,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take much for her to let those people that she is reaching out to know that, hey man, you know, I'm not like him, which is basically saying, well, I'm not black.
Here's what John McCain had to say about it.
I saw yesterday some additional comments that have been revealed by Pastor Wright. One of them comparing the United States Marine Corps with Roman legionnaires who were responsible for the death of our Savior. I mean, being involved in that, it's beyond belief.
He also was upset, John McCain, that is, in that Reverend Wright had made some sort of reference that the Al-Qaeda flag is the same as the U.S. flag.
Well, I don't know about the Al-Qaeda flag comment. I think historically, most historians might agree with the Roman legion part and this idea of empire. I don't know what's historically incorrect about that. Maybe someone can tell me. But I bet you if you go back and look at the tapes of a lot of the people who have endorsed John McCain, from Farwell to Hagee, then you're going to find a whole lot of stuff that you're not going to like about what it is that these cats have said. And if that's where we're going with this debate in America, if we're going to be debating religion and politics and what different religious figures believe, then we're in for a hard time. And as I said, you know, I agree with many of the political positions of Reverend Wright. I am not I'm a secularist. So as I said, this idea of God bringing down his wrath on the people of New Orleans, or God punishing, I think it was it Falwell or Robinson that said God's punishment, was 9/11 was God's punishment for gay folk or the ACLU or whatever. I don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. But as it relates to the politics of that have been expressed by Reverend Wright, our opposition to what was going on in Nicaragua and Central America under the Reagan administration, or Israel helping South Africa develop the nuclear bomb, you know, it's just an array of policies. The United Church of Christ, in my experience and in working with them, were the leaders in bringing public attention to the issue of environmental racism, and have funded a lot of the organizations and efforts that I've done in the South. So the church that Reverend Wright belongs to is a very progressive church. And as Reverend Wright said yesterday in reference to Dr. King, people seem to forget that Dr. King said that America was the number one exporter and purveyor of violence on the planet. Everybody just kind of plucks out, "I have a dream."
Mm-hmm.
And they forget that the black experience in politics has been along the lines of James Cone and Paulo Ferreira and the pedagogy of the oppressed, to where we are called as people on the bottom to challenge power and to speak truth to power.
We need to check weather, and then we'll continue to talk with and take your calls for Kevin Gray, our guest, talking with us about the Reverend Jeremiah Wright and his recent frequent public speaking engagements, talking with Bill Moyers over the weekend, addressing the National Press Club yesterday, a speech to the NAACP, speaking out on his own behalf, talking about his views and his how that's affecting the Barack Obama campaign. Kevin Gray is a longtime civil rights organizer in South Carolina, former president of the state's ACLU. He was the 1988 campaign manager for Jesse Jackson in South Carolina, author of a number of books, including the forthcoming The Decline of Black Politics, From Malcolm X to Barack Obama. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 29th. Coming up after 8, we talk with the author of Ready, Why Women Are Embracing the New Later Motherhood, about how the number of women waiting until they're in their mid-30s or beyond to have their first child, how that number has skyrocketed over the past couple of decades. Right now, we go to Bernie in Elkhorn. Hi, Bernie, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Everything the Reverend Wright said about U.S. foreign policy is exactly accurate, and unfortunately most people are blinded by a lifetime of nationalism and propaganda, and it's unfortunate that the truth is something that politicians run away from and endorse the opposite. My point about Barack Obama is that he is, in my opinion, just another corporately funded political opportunist. I'm going to be voting for either Nader or Cynthia McKinney. And I've never heard Barack Obama criticize U.S. Empire and militarism. In fact, he wants to add to the military budget. I've never heard him criticize Israel. He's now on that side of the bandwagon. I've never heard him say end the drug war. I don't believe he believes what Reverend Wright says. I think the fact that he wouldn't back up Reverend Wright, that he's backing away from him and his statements, is abominable and shows his complete lack of character. I think people are fooled by the fact that he's half black. If he was a real black leader, the powers that be in this country would have shot him before he got into the Senate. And that's an unfortunate truth, but I know it's so.
What's your reaction to that, Kevin Gray?
Well, you know, a lot of what the gentleman just said, I actually agree with. But I'm a little more hopeful. I was talking to a friend last night, and I said, you know, the fact that Barack Obama's mama married an African says a lot about his mother's parents and how they raised her. And that's the hope of America, that people can see beyond race and culture. And that's the strength of Barack, that he doesn't, for some strange reason, embrace. And this idea that he wants to play the game the way the game has always been played. Toni Morrison compared Barack to Mandela, called him out Mandela, and I said, no, he's kind of like Tiger Woods. He wants to wear the green jacket and be a part of the club, but he's not going to change the game of golf.
Yeah, you know, Bernie was saying that, you know, Wright's statements on foreign policy are correct, but that is what that's what's causing a lot of the debate and the talk that was.
And no one's challenging these media types that are labeling anyone who is against current U.S. foreign policy as being un-American and unpatriotic. That's what's going on. That's the dangerous thing that's going on in this country right now, that you've got corporate media who are labeling anybody that has a critique different from the corporate media as being un-American. And it almost takes you back to the days of the communist witch hunts and the unfair allegations and red baiting that went on in this country. That's where we're at right now, where if you're not towing the line, and if you're not just waving the flag and rah-rah and buying off into this idea of being embedded with this bad policy that George Bush and years of empire has produced, then you're not an American. The fact that Reverend Wright was in that room giving anesthesia to Lyndon Johnson during his gallbladder operation or spend time in the military means nothing. People, and which I mean, I understood what Reverend Wright was saying. People who use their money and privilege, like Dick Cheney, to avoid military service, who are now given the power to determine who lives and dies, that's all right. But critiquing this idea of empire, or critiquing this idea of exploiting the poor, that's off base. And even in reciting the history of the progressive movement, as I kept mentioning the, you know, South Africa, Nicaragua, because those are the things that most people will be familiar with. But even our opposition to the drug war, as the gentleman mentioned, those things are seen as off base. And, you know, if we're going to talk about change, we've got to talk about the things that need to be changed.
Next, we go to Lenny in Madison. Hi, Lenny.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Gray.
Everyone thinks you're a pastor.
Pastor Gray.
He's not a pastor, but his
brothers.
I got to tell you something, man. You're a refreshing voice of fresh air in this part of the country.
Well, thank you.
I disagree. I agree with most of what you said. I mean, I think Barack Obama is faced with an enigma where, on the one hand, one caller mentioned that he wasn't much of a leader and that he was, you know, his conduct was rather deplorable because he hadn't stood against U.S. imperialism and corporate fascism and, you know, criticized Israel for its behavior, especially toward the Palestinians and on the West Bank. But one of the things that really gets me about this whole situation with Obama is that he is a first, and no matter what Jeremiah Wright said, he said it in his church. And I think that the media, and particularly some particular networks that have already been mentioned, so I don't need to mention them, they're going at this as an, you know, they're attacking him for basically his beliefs. And they're trying to lay this at the doorstep of Barack Obama's campaign. Obama stands on the shoulder of men like Jeremiah Wright, and let's make no mistake about that. He's where he is right now because guys like that got out in the street. When Barack Obama was born in 1961, I was living in Tennessee, going to segregated schools, and my people down there, my relatives down there, couldn't drink out of the same fountain as white people. And I think a lot of people, you know, I'm only 53 years old. I think a lot of black people my age and even younger than me still remember some of that stuff. But one of the things we have to remember is that this is a pinnacle point in history. The United States of America will be judged by the way they handle that history, this momentous moment in that history. And as we go forward, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Rupert Murdoch's Fox Network. I don't care if it's the Cap Times or the State Journal. I don't care who it is. We need to remember that, and we need to treat this with respect.
Kevin Gray?
Well, you know, ultimately, in all of this, it's the people who have to start organizing and demanding change beyond who gets elected to office. And as Reverend Wright said, if it is Barack Obama, then the people have to put together the political force to demand change of him. He has to be viewed as a politician in that regard. Now, he might rise to the occasion and come through for the people, but you still have to put the demand out there. And you can't back away from it. And you can't believe that only electing a person is the progress that we're seeking. You know, one of the things that I write about in this book is that for the past 30 years or so, the black political movement has gone from working for equal rights and parity to electing people as their primary goal. So we've got to move beyond that. But as it relates to the broader movement and where America goes, as I said earlier, Obama's campaign, the people that support him are a movement trapped within a campaign. But when the campaign is over, then people have to start coalescing around issues. Yeah. And so I think that's where we have to go.
Kevin Gray, we have less than a minute, and I hate to do this to you, but what do you see Barack Obama's campaign doing? Just have they said what they're going to say and move on, or do you see this issue and Reverend Wright blowing up some more?
As a former campaign person, mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect him to speak too much on it. I really wouldn't. Because it does give it too much life. It has a life of its own without him having to deal with it every day. And no one's asking Hillary Clinton, you know, if you take that list of things that mm-hmm. Reverend Wright has said politically, what does she feel about this?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think you deal with the issues that are contained within Reverend Wright's critique, and you move on.
Yeah. And we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kevin Gray, author of the forthcoming book, The Decline of Black Politics, From Malcolm X to Barack Obama. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour and to Michelle Kofel for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.